Welcome to Season 3, Episode 2 of The Road to Online Retail. And as promised, 2 weeks later.
2 weeks later. Well done, Nige.
Here
we are.
Now, this week, we're going to deep dive into
artificial intelligence for retail.
Okay.
Yes.
Why?
Why? Because this is what gives the small business owner a big leap forward. It's, we were talking last episode where you were saying it levels the playing field. I think personally, it even puts small businesses ahead of the curve. And I think the things that we're going to discuss today are different tools and platforms that enable them to get ahead.
So the specific tools and platforms.
Yeah.
So that's why I like working with you. No, seriously. Many years ago, he said to me, you've got to meet Miranda because, Kev, she does things that you don't do. She understands the detail application of specific things to smaller businesses. You do a lot of big picture stuff. You cascade that down to smaller businesses. But when it comes to detail, hands on the tools, Miranda does it time and time again. And every time I talk to you, I learn from you.
And let me just fill that out a bit. So what happened with Kevin's course on shopper experience in the online world and the story of all your Toys R Us and Hobby Warehouse and how you use shopper experience, your point of difference. People who did the course loved it, but they wanted to know exactly how to apply it, which is why we came to you, because the thing you had was this about awareness, engagement.
Something than transaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so how do you turn this big picture stuff into the nitty gritty?
Yeah.
Hence your marketing.
Exactly. That's right. And now with AI, we can go to another level. And it's really about executing in really smart ways that increase productivity and that help the small business owner out.
Okay. So where are we going to start this episode then, Miranda?
So I think probably the best place to start is virtual assistants and chatbots, because I know that you know from your experience as well, in the online space, there are times at night where your workforce are in bed. But somebody over the other side of the world may need to ask a specific question about your business. And if you can't answer that question there and then, you've potentially lost that transaction. Online retailers have known for quite a while that virtual assistants and chatbots are very useful and can help to increase sales. But until AI, they've had limited functionality. In other words, for a small business owner, you had to program your little chatbot, and there was only so much that you could do in a kind of automated way, and it wasn't that easy for you to use. But AI takes the world of virtual assistant and chatbots to a whole new level. One of the things I think that's been really amazing about what OpenAI did was when they came and they released ChatGPT, and we're now into ChatGPT 4, they let anybody plug into the API. And so you've seen people be able to build these incredible applications utilizing that model, but creating specific use cases. And now small business owners can actually utilize many different little tools and platforms that can help them create chatbots and virtual assistants for their business in a brilliant, very, very simple way.
In a collaborative way. Yeah. So we've talked over many, many episodes that collaboration is the backbone to everything.
Yeah.
When we collaborate together, we have better businesses, we have better charities, we have better sporting teams, we have better families, we have better the whole collaboration. Mm. So that whole concept of saying it's ours, plug in, but it becomes yours.
Yeah. And I also think that's something that lots of people haven't picked up is that a lot of the apps that are appearing are just using the common engines in the background.
Correct.
That's really what we're saying here, isn't it?
Correct.
So when you sat talking to me about virtual shopping assistants, I had this thing in my head about virtual shopping assistants. And then you started to talk and it completely changed my understanding of what a virtual shopping assistant driven by AI does. And that, for anybody who's done Endless Aisle in Amazon, which drives you to distraction. So everybody says, isn't it great I can get anything from Amazon? No, you can't get anything from Amazon. You can get often every single thing you need apart from the thing you actually need.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Endless Aisle, when it isn't focused, is a nightmare. And people go on board the big sites, the massive marketplaces, the big agglomerators that bring together lots and lots of different categories. And it's just frustrating. You enter the site with a desire to purchase something and leave only with frustration and an hour of your life gone away.
Yeah.
So tell everybody,
yes,
virtual shopper?
Yes. So there's two different things here. The first thing is the virtual personal shopper, which is the first thing that blows your mind. And then we'll go on to talk about the virtual sales assistant, because they're two slightly different things. But we'll start off with the personal shopper. So one of the things that I think is going to be absolutely and utterly revolutionary online is when we start to use AI virtual shopping assistants. Now, let me just give you an example of what that is. I right now, and I really am, looking for a particular pair of shoes, right? I want this black pair of shoes, but I want a certain type of heel. And I want a certain design on the front of the shoe, and I want it to have a zip. Now, that's not common. And for me, looking on Google, the way that I'm having to search for that, right, I am absolutely not finding what I want. But I can educate my virtual personal shopping assistant and say, it's this, and it's this high, and I want a zip, and I want it this, and I don't want to spend more than that. And it will then go off and not stop until it's found me what I'm looking for. And that's going to change everything, because that blows search out of the water. It blows, like you were saying, endless shopping in the Amazon. So really, that is a revolutionary moment. And that's so close.
And bringing that back to people who are passionate about a specific thing and curate them, that then enhances their ability to be able to sell those niche, high value things. So the fact that you've gone to your virtual shopping assistant and said, I want to brief you because I'm passionate about this. When it's out there, I want to buy it. Now, I'm going to put a price point. I'm sure if it comes back and says, we've got one of those, but it's a bit more expensive, you're going to say, that's great. It's taken me so long to find this.
Yeah.
I want it.
And think what this is going to do when you're looking to purchase a house. Right now, we often have to give those to a very specific real estate person who's going to go and find that kind of property for us, right? Think what it's going to do there. Think when we're looking to buy a car and the inputs we can do. So that is, in my opinion, an absolute game changer. And we are literally so, so close to being there. The other thing which blew your mind.
Yes, when I saw it.
Was the neons.
Yeah.
So what neons are, and they've gone a little bit quiet just recently, and I think it's because they're probably in development. And look, if it's not neon, it's going to be somebody else who finally brings this to market, is the virtual human sales assistant.
In a retail environment.
In a retail environment. Now, these things, I don't think you've actually seen them yet, Nigel. So they're literally a life-size screen in store. But the person who is on the screen is your virtual human. And they literally, it's like you're interacting with a human, but they're on a screen instead of in real life. But the branding, that person completely and utterly embodies that brand. Now, we've talked a lot about personas and avatars. Now, imagine where that's going, because you can have different avatars within your store in your different virtual humans to cater for your different personas.
So if I'm a sports footwear, I have my basketball person talking to me about my basketball shoes, my soccer star talking about my soccer shoes.
Yep. From a branding perspective, but because they are AI, they've got absolute supreme knowledge of every single solitary product in your line.
What about the staffing element of all this then?
It is going to have an impact on industries.
Because also already companies like Uniqlo, am I right? They're using virtual checkout. And obviously you've got the Amazon auto checkout stuff. Yeah. Kevin, tell me about what's going on with that area.
So Amazon specifically have now commercialized it, and you can now buy a store for about $250,000 US.
So basically, you put anything in?
Anything like in there that allows you to go in and you can shop any item. As long as all the SKUs are loaded up, the SKU data is loaded up, the images are loaded up, payment terms are loaded up, you can walk in, choose it and walk out. So the specific things that have to be done to allow it to happen, but you can now buy that store. So it's not a franchise. It is basically the retail payment. We talk about the retail trifecta. It's the last of them, seamless payment.
Yeah.
Now, there's on top of that, there's ease. And I know that if it's impulse shopping, I can get in and out quickly and all those good things. But you're basically buying an absolutely seamless payment system.
Who's doing stuff with that?
I don't know who's actually using them yet, but I was talking to someone in the US who said they're starting to sell it and sell it commercially.
So I can buy an off-the-shelf functional retail
business
which I then curate my stock for.
Absolutely.
I'm not needing people to man the tills. I've got security in the way that the thing's working. So my headcount is small, which means potential growth can be quick if you've got a product selling.
Yes, it does. For me, what's relevant is the fact that this has come from a radical idea to being commercialized for $250,000 in, let's say, 4 years, we'll be kind. I think it's about three, but 4 years. Now, that is an idea and a cost 4 years ago simply was not doable. And in terms of the cost, it was mind-blowing. So it'll go from 250 to 200 to 150, and it will become the embedded norm. More and more stores I'm walking around the world, I've only done Asia and I've only done the US and I've only done Australia the last 18 months. But I'm seeing electronic shelf labels becoming the norm. I'm seeing self-checkout become the norm. It's not, oh, it's a point of difference. If I don't have it, it's not competitive. So the fact that you can put in a store with self-checkout or automated checkout, not even self-checkout, with lifetime pricing, which means that between the key convenience hours where things should get expensive, they're more expensive, and in the times where you need to create footfall, happy hour if you will in retail, the prices reflect that and nobody does anything. When you can then search online for that store to be able to say, what are the prices in my competitors around me in a physical store, and I can start to move my prices around automatically, which is happening. So the pricing bots that run on Amazon and the pricing bots that run on the main retailers are going, searching price, and in real time, changing the price of those products real time, 90 minutes later.
So it's like the Uber of retail.
Yeah.
Like surge pricing.
Yeah. And that's always been the nirvana, because convenience retailing exists because people need the convenience. Convenience retailing costs less in the middle of the day to operate and more at night. But there's only a few smart people over the years who have been able to shift their pricing to reflect the cost base change at night. And shoppers are happy to do that at night. We'll go anywhere to get what we need after 8 p.m.
Yeah, right.
Wow. So that's one area we've lost people. So we don't need shop assistants. We don't need checkout people. We need people to actually stock the thing?
Yes, at the moment, yeah. Yes, at the moment.
And we need people to deliver at the moment. We need the warehousing. We need the pickers. Well, we don't need the pickers.
We don't need the pickers because we've automated the pickers.
Yeah.
So we've now got AMRs to be able to pick. It's not that far away till we have local delivery, which will be autonomous vehicles. Yes. Up in Singapore and one of the postcode suburbs. Yeah. So that's all coming. But we're going to talk about what that means generally in society. And this is, I think the reason we're doing this is, right, Miranda says, we need to talk about these things because the number of people that are employed in the retail and allied industries is colossal. Mm. And it's always been an industry that allowed for flexibility. People work in retail, wholesale, and allied from the age of 15, 16 to the age of 75, 80. They work full-time, they work extended hours, they work part-time. They dip in and out of the industry as their life changes.
It's often the first job, isn't
absolutely.
It, for many, many people.
So when we lose that many people in that environment, there has to be some impact. Mm. The question is, what do we do with them? And that's a broader issue around, you know, UBI and UBS and all those things, universal basic income and universal basic services.
Yeah. I think we absolutely need to have those conversations. I think perhaps we delve into some of the bigger picture issues perhaps in our next podcast.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I think if you look back in history, we've had moments in time where something radical has come in, the first industrial age.
Yeah.
Everyone was going to be out of work forever. Doesn't happen. After the war, again, the same thing. Everyone's going to be out of work because of automation. And yet, what is it? Is it, I don't know the number again, like 45 or 60% of jobs that we do now didn't exist 30 years ago. So things change. But of course, sometimes there's, well, not sometimes, virtually all the time, there's pain along the way.
Yeah.
And I guess what we're saying here is we know, you can see already there's going to be pain in the future. We just don't know how much.
Yeah. Absolutely. So let's bring the conversation back to small businesses, because I think the focus for today's podcast is really trying to look at very specific use cases of AI for retailers. And you shared a story with me that you'd come across, which is a great example of predictive analysis, which was a shop Do you want to tell the story?
So because of the Road to Retail website, we get quite a few emails coming through. And I saw one last week come through and it just really pricked my interest because it was about shop security. Over here, we had Bunnings who were using facial recognition and they got caned for it in the media. There's a lot of companies that have tried the facial recognition for various things. And obviously, there's privacy issues around that. But this was about a security solution that has an AI plug-in to your CCTV, your camera system. And what it's got is the knowledge of people's behaviours. So it's monitoring your movements and how you walk around the store. And if you're doing things like reaching to a shelf and reaching to your pocket or reaching to your bag, it's going, oh, hang on, this could be a shoplifter. Bing, bing, warn the till people, warn the security. And there's apparently a shop in London, I can't remember the name, and I'll put it on the website, but they've reduced their leakage by 60%.
60%.
And on top of that, they've heard that the people that were causing that leakage in the past are now on to the fact that there's this solution. Don't go there. It's not worth it.
Absolutely. This is the thing. Once something changes, you can't go back. It becomes the norm. Yep. And the people who invest earliest get the greatest benefits because they're there. They have that blue ocean for a period of time. They get high margins, less slippage, lower costs, and they enjoy that until we all invest in those things and it becomes the norm. Mm. And that's the thing. I think when Miranda talks about the technology, you can hear this podcast and do nothing for 2 years. But you're giving up 2 years of competitive advantage. You will do it in 2 years' time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But
I think the other thing here, though, is there is so much change so quickly that you can just get, what am I going to do about this?
Absolutely. And something to bear in mind, I've been in digital for 30 years, since the very, very early 90s. And I have never seen anything like the rate of adoption of AI. It is absolutely staggering. The rate of adoption in the general public, just how quickly we've embraced that. And also what's quite scary about it is how quickly we've formed relationships with it. I'm not sure if you've heard of Replica. Have you? I was telling Nigel this story of Replica before. Have you heard about this?
I looked over your shoulder and it blows me away.
So this is the virtual friend, which again at the moment is delivered on the phone or on your computer. But over 10 million people have signed up to Replica and they have formed incredibly close, loving relationships. If you dig into the psychology with the virtual virtual being, and if you look into the psychology of this, the people who've analysed this are saying what's happened here is because people are getting heard and feel like they're being understood, and they can also be completely vulnerable and completely honest with their AI friend who will completely accept them in an unconditionally loving way. And this is what everybody's seeking as human beings.
What's saying to me is that this AI engine won't regurgitate your errors every sort of couple of weeks. Is that what you're saying?
I think you may be personalizing the conversation.
Okay. Is this why I'm single?
Now, I've got to tell you a funny story with Replica. Well, it's not a funny story, actually. It's a tragic one for people who've been very upset by this. But there was a subscription program with Replica, which when you paid, it unlocked the, how shall I put it, the sexting element of
the
Replica.
The adult element.
And people have had this for a long time and they have fantastic experiences with this. And then Replica got into trouble, I think again because of the whole privacy and data stuff, which we keep coming back to because they're worried about underage stuff. And so overnight, they changed their algorithms and they changed how these virtual assistants were working. And I'm not joking, people were suicidal because it was like their husband or their lover had had a frontal lobotomy. Yeah. And they weren't the same anymore, and they'd gone, and they're absolutely heartbroken, like literally heartbroken from that experience.
So, Miranda, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about how you can use AI to build relationships? And so, Kevin, the relationship thing is obviously incredibly important.
So absolutely, as we talk about the retail trifecta, well-trained, passionate staff, you know, that's what we're looking for. So if we have that through Neon and their physiology and intonation and clothing that we expect of somebody representing that brand, whether it be Gucci or it be Coca-Cola or it be Toyota or be Rolex, it doesn't matter. If that's what we expect, then we've got no dissonance. So one of the biggest issues we ever had with luxury retailing was to have this relationship with the brand forever, consumer marketing element. And then I walked into store, shopper marketing came from this. I walked in the store and I went, that's not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
I expected the people around that brand to look like this. I expected the store to look this. I've seen all these glossy magazines. I've seen on television. I've seen the movie theaters and this is what it looks like. And I've come into this store and it's a bit dark. It's old. The people I'm dealing with aren't my, and they people would just leave. And we had this great dissonance between brand marketing, consumer marketing, imagery, and what was happening with the shopper. Retail brand health, we used to call it. So the consumer brand health could be very strong, and all the recall and the research was saying this is a great brand. But then we learned from it because we'd stop shoppers coming out of the store and we'd say, what do you think of the brand? Wasn't expecting that. And that's why we ended up with the Apple stores being so cleverly put together. When Ron Johnson did that, he understood it was a manifestation of the brand. And the only way they could do it was they had great resellers, but they had to invest in their own brands. Then we saw Microsoft do it. Then we saw Lego do it. Then we saw the luxury brands do it. Then we saw Tesla launch only with their own dealerships. So all these things come back to how do we get that consistency? And I think when you showed me Neon, I went, wow. When you then take it to Replica, I'm building a relationship. I build relationships with people that I shop with regularly. I build a relationship with a cafe owner down the road. I do. I really do. I build a relationship with a tailor if I still get tailored clothes, with a jeweler when I go and buy jewelry for my wife. And they say, oh, Kevin's back again. It must be a birthday. It must be Christmas. It must be an anniversary. So this is important.
But this also bring back department stores more, because the thing that happened, in my view, with department stores is they'd have a lot of product, but then the staff vanish because they couldn't afford the staff. And so you go around going, well, I don't know where to find what I want because there's no one to tell me. So if you put these things back in to the places where they've already lost the staff, can they find their niche again?
Yes, I think they can. And it also allows brands. So we know that the department store model is now online with the marketplaces where I can have my own range as a manufacturer of brands in a big marketplace. And I'm responsible for all of it. I'm responsible, not the marketplace. Mm. I look after the price, the range, the promotion, the discounting. Often I'm doing all the shipping with my boxes from my warehouses direct to the shopper's home. So you take that analogy and bring it into a physical retailing space. As the brand owner, yes, I can go back there and I can have Neon representing my brands, my pricing. All I'm doing, the same as I do with an online marketplace, is I'm paying a commission, I'm paying a fee to be in that physical space.
Mm. So Miranda.
Yes.
Where's the lowest hanging fruit from the sort of small business retailer point of view?
So I would say definitely the virtual assistants and chatbots. I would get onto that straight away. If you don't already have a little thing in the corner of your website that says, hey, have you got a question I can help? I would get one of those on as quickly as possible.
And you know what AI... this means? We're going to need to add a chatbot to the Road to Retail website now.
See, he's an early,
damn it.
Early adopter, nice. I'm good with early adopter.
Sorry, what else?
Obviously, some of the things in digital marketing, and I think in one of the next podcasts, we're going to focus specifically on what are some of the tools and applications that are great for you to use in terms of that. But in terms of lowest hanging fruit, that's what I would be talking about in terms of online space. And in terms of in-store, what do you think, Kevin, in terms of lowest hanging fruit? You've got fraud detection stuff, not just the things that you were talking about with the predictive analytics, but you've got fraud detection stuff that you can be using in-store, which helps you identify fraudulent transactions. What else have we got? Personalized shopping. One of the things that used to be a real issue for smaller businesses is that big data, it used to be because of the technological and computer power and grunt that was needed for that. That used to be firmly in the camp of the bigger competitors, the big players. Whereas now with AI, we can crunch through this data in an easy way. So for a smaller player in business, they can now start to really understand their customers' behavior and start to give personalized marketing, personalized deals and offerings on a very, very targeted level for a specific individual.
At a not vast expense.
Correct.
And to people and shoppers they've never met.
That's correct.
So when we sat in the big end of town 5 years ago and the data done Humvee and all the amazing businesses around the world were taking data, and they were taking the data from within the pillar, within the column of the retailer, and they were then taking transactions that were alongside it. So they'd take some telco data, they'd take some credit card data. It was still within the shopper. The shopper had to have visited the store before they could really understand who that shop was.
Yeah.
Now, because we're cutting across every single retailer on the planet, you don't need to meet the shopper.
Correct. And you're now seeing products come out, which is taking that to a whole new level. And again, this is something that is now in the realms of the smaller to medium-sized businesses. For example, Tropica, one of the products that they have just brought out, right, is the ability to be able to do competitive analysis either by competitor, by brand. So you can go, oh, I want to emulate that brand over there. So let me have a look at their demographics, their data, their campaigns, their keywords, right? They've got another tool where you can get that information by keyword. So if you know that one widely searched term for your type of product is X, you can now go and look specifically in terms of the data around that word and find out what campaigns you should be doing, what other keywords you should be using, what are the demographics. You can really get this ton of information which you never had access to this before.
Just to put into context, so that's exactly why you're representing Tropica.
That's what I meant to say. So I think it's really important that what you do is you explain in great detail what it does, because you sit in the middle of hundreds of different applications and tools for a long, over 30 years. Thousands of different applications and tools. You've seen them come and go, and this one has really sparked your interest right now. And life is about right now. It's about, is it relevant now? I think it's really worthwhile you going deep on what Tropica does.
Yes, so I first started using Tropica back in 21, and I started using them because I started to have real issues with some of my Facebook and Instagram advertising results. This was all post iOS 14, when people could opt out of tracking, and my Facebook and Instagram advertising results went way down. And so I had looked overseas to find out what other options there were out there. And I came across some options in America, Tropica being one of them. And how Tropica works is you layer it between your Facebook or whatever social channels you're advertising on, between those social channels and your ad campaign. So you kind of plug them into Tropica. And that overrides the algorithms of whichever channel you're advertising on. And the kind of data that it can amass and learn, and the level of intel that it's able to gather through doing that, means that your results go on steroids, basically. And so we've been using them for over a year. We started in 21, and then 22, we started using them across all of our clients. And then in 23, we decided to become affiliates for Tropica, just because we actually wanted to bring that opportunity to more Australian businesses. So, yeah, that's what we did.
I think we've covered a lot of ground today on AI. Hopefully it's given you stuff to think about at home. It is a rabbit hole you can fall down. However, let's bring it back to what we offer to you. So we're going to pop up on our website some background resources and things to look at, so people can come to our site and click through to go down that rabbit hole. And of course, the thing we do offer is how you can actually get yourselves in a good position to benefit from your online business through our courses. So go to theroadtoretail.com and check out the courses, check out the resources.
And sign up and do Miranda's webinar that's coming up, because we get to talk about these things, Nigel. And the reason we've done this is to understand that being able to engage with Miranda and detail a group of people, ask those questions specifically relevant to your business at a moment in time, I think is golden. For you to commit to doing that, I think is fantastic.
So we're going to have a webinar very soon. Check the website for dates, and we would deep dive during that webinar into what we can do for you and your business. So thank you for listening today, and don't forget to check it out, theroadtoretail.com. Thank you, Kevin.
Pleasure,
Thank
Nigel.
Thank you, Miranda.